swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Testing. It is episode 131. If you're listening on drop day, it is September 17th. This is the official podcast of Playing Out the String, also known as the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, and rate us 5 stars. All platforms, it works. Also, check us out on YouTube, on the WEEI channel. We've got a Play Testing playlist there. Can hit the thumbs up on those videos, and we really appreciate that. And as always, you can find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Here with Sammy and here with Pat, and we are here to preview a ginormous series: Sox, Rays, Tampa Bay, in the Tropicana Field, where the roof is a little bit too low and the seats are a little bit too empty. Do you guys have any thoughts on Sox, Rays, or do we want to just like get right into this preview?
Get into it. It over with.
Can't wait. Right.
The Rays, 73-77 for the season, 6-9 this month. They just dropped the series to the Cleveland Guardians, 2-1. The Sox are 4-3 against the Rays this year. And just a quick note, you guys listen up on this. All of these games start at 6:50. So don't be tuning in late and complaining. 6:50 start time. Don't know what it is. 6:50. You heard it here from Gordo. All right.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's weird. I don't entirely hate it if it were just consistent, but I've always been a fan of the later start times, but I know everyone else likes earlier. But
no, I'm with you. I don't tell anyone. I hate day baseball. It's only okay on Sundays.
I'm on board with that, Sammy. I'm always wanting to do things during the day, and it's like the dinner hour at night where like I can,
yes, you know,
yes. In college I wanted to go out like after the game, so like I didn't like the 10 o'clock, but like the nighttime is, I feel like it's always the best. But whatever, 6:50, it is what it is. Just it's annoying when people get caught off guard. There's going to be people that didn't listen to this edition of Play Tessie that aren't going to know that the game started at 6:50, and I feel bad for those people.
Oh my God, that's awful.
But let's get into the pitching matchups. I got to double check to make sure that these are still, for the most part, not announced. The first game I know has been announced. Okay, the Rays have announced all their pitchers. The Red Sox have not. And it's because of Tanner Houck's status. We don't know which game he's going in. But the first game is going to be Nick Pivetta versus Shane Baz. And Shane Baz is damn good. Former Giant prospect. Has had his injuries, but he's got a 3.28 ERA. And 11 starts this year. But, yeah, again, guy who's been hurt and has been a star when he's pitched but has not pitched a ton. He's gone at least 5 innings and 3 runs or less in 7 of his last 8 starts. So this is a guy who's pitching like what he was supposed to be as a prospect. Second game, we don't know when Tanner Houck's going to go. He's either going to go in Game 2 or Game 3. We'll see. But I'm just going to, for the sake of it, say he's going to go in Game 3. I'll assume they're going to give him the extra rest. So second game, Cooper Criswell versus Ryan Pepiot, who was the main piece of the Tyler Glasnow trade, and he's pitched like it. He's got a 3.76 ERA and 23 starts this year. He's a legitimate starter for them moving forward. But he has walked 8 men in his last 3 starts, where he's allowed 6 earned runs in just 10 1/3 innings against the Padres, Orioles, and Guardians. The key here, he's going to walk you, make him pay. Third game, we'll assume Tanner Houck here versus Zach Littell, who you may remember from his 2 unmemorable games for the Red Sox last year. He actually has a 3.73 ERA and 27 starts for the Rays this year. Another legitimate starter that at some point they'll probably trade for legitimate prospects who will also be really good for them. Sox identified the talent here but couldn't unlock it. That kind of was the story of the Heim Bloom era, where you could identify the pitchers who had something but couldn't unlock it with Dave Bush, and they went somewhere else and ended up figuring it out. So, yeah, Zach Littell figured it out. back-to-back shutout outings of 5 and 6 innings against the Orioles and Guardians for Zach Littell. So he's coming off 2 good ones. The Rays are, as I said, they're 73-77 here. But starting pitching has certainly not been the problem with them. I'll give you the offense stats. They don't have a very good offense right now. But starting pitching certainly has not been their issue. And as they get guys back, I mean, Drew Rasmussen is back now. And obviously Shane McClanahan's going to come back next year. Like, starting pitching-wise, they're set. We'll see what they do with the bats going into next year. But starting pitching-wise, that team is good to go. As for the bats, they don't have a guy with an OPS over 800 this season. The one note I will make is that Brandon Lau has a career 1071 OPS in 56 games against the Red Sox. Like, what the literal fuck is that shit? He is a Red Sox killer, and the Red Sox don't have lefty starting pitchers going in this series or ever. So Brandon Lau will be playing in this series, and we will see if that continues. The Rays only have 3 players on the roster with double-digit homers this year, but one of them is Jose Siri, who's hitting 189. So not a ton of pop from this team, though Yandy Diaz has a 953 OPS in his last 25 games. Was a little bit slower of a start, but he's definitely their best hitter, and he has hit like it lately. They did call up Junior Caminero, the now former number one overall prospect in Major League Baseball. That honor now belongs to Roman Anthony, according to Baseball America. But Junior Caminero in 31 games this year, he's got a 727 OPS and just 3 home runs, despite having a 70-grade power, which was the highest among all prospects before his graduation. Last note I will say here, Johnny DeLuca is playing every day for this team right now.
Oh,
no.
You're going to see him. He has not killed the Red Sox yet, but it would be very much like him. There are still believers that the Red Sox could make the playoffs. He could put the nail in the coffin to the Red Sox season for those people. And just for what he's done lately, in his last 25 games, 290 batting average, 790 OPS. So he has been hitting. They've been playing him every day. It's Johnny DeLuca.
The Rays are off. Rays stat line ever. Like, just a little bit above average. Nothing crazy, but everybody is just a little better than average, and they are just so annoying to play against.
Yeah, so Johnny DeLuca, he is a Tampa Bay Ray. He was born to be a Tampa Bay Ray. Just is what it is. But just
where's to you guys, where's Johnny DeLuca from? I gotta look this up.
He was also, that obviously he's not from there, but he was also part of that Tyler Glasnow trade. So you will see him, and you will see Ryan Pepiot.
But yeah, he really is the ultimate Tampa Bay Ray. He's a 26-year-old rookie.
Where was he born?
Thousand Oaks, California.
California kid. But yeah, just to quickly give you a recap of the pitching matchups here, Nick Pivetta versus Shane Baz. Ryan Pepiot's going in the second game. We will say it's Cooper Criswell. And in the third game, it will be Zach Littell, and we will say it's Tanner Houck. Those two could be flip-flop, but those are the 6 pitchers you're going to see. So, Joe, let's get Joe in here. Oh, I definitely got this one right for the Yankee series. I definitely did. Right,
yeah.
Joe?
Hi, fellas. Yeah, Gordo was the only one that got it right. He was the only one that predicted 3 losses in 4 games. Sammy and Pat both went with a split, 2 for 2, and I thought it would be a win, 3 out of 4. So Gordo gets a point, and guess what? Now he's not solely in the basement anymore. Tied for 3rd with me with 10 points. Pat's still in 2nd with 13. Sammy's still in the lead with 16. And guys, we're getting to the point where Sammy could clinch both before the season's out.
Has he clinched?
He's 3 up right now with 4 series to go.
Okay, so he hasn't, but he might have. What about Chris? We'll get to Crystal Bomb later. Joe, I do have a comment. You and I are tied. We're tied in the sense that I've played the entire season and have 10 home runs, and you got called up on like July 1st and have 10 home runs. And I'm like, yeah, we're the same. We're the same.
Are you going to be happy with your non-last place finish?
Joe,
my
series predictions this year, even if I go 4 for 4 in the final 4 series of this season, a complete dog shit performance by myself, and I promise to be significantly better next year. I've got new algorithms that I'm going to use to predict series for next season, but I'm not going to use them for the rest of this year.
Let me go first because I'm in the lead. So I'll choose first, and then you guys can either fade or follow, just so you guys have a shot to.
Well, Pat's the only one that can catch you. Like, me and Gordo are out.
Oh, you're there. Okay. Sorry. Right. I'll go Pat's before the Pat then.
Yeah, Sammy, you go first. Let's hear what you got. I'm not gonna listen. I'm not gonna hear and not gonna steal your picks.
All right. So when you look at the pitching matchups and you look at the two lineups, the Red Sox are gonna get swept. And I think they're even going to get shut out in one of these games. So I think the Rays win every game and just finally take the Red Sox out to pasture and put them out of their misery. Sorry.
I want to make
Pat your response.
Pat, Sammy and Pat are the only two that people care about at this point. Pat, you're not going to join them on the sweep. You got to catch them.
No. So it's funny because right before we recorded, I said they're losing game one because Shane Baz has been unreal and he's going against Pivetta. I now will say they win that game and lose the next two because I forgot about Tropicana Nick Pivetta. Every time he pitches at the Trop, I feel like he goes 7 innings with 12 strikeouts.
I'm going to verify right now.
So I'm going with the Sox in game one. They drop the next two.
All right, I'll go next, and Sammy, while I go, you find the stats there. I'm also going to go Sox 1 out of 3. I think they lose the first two, and I think Tanner Houck hopefully is not battling through too much because I would hope that at this point, if he were actually truly hurt, the Red Sox would not be risking him for their minuscule playoff odds at this point. So I hope that Tanner Houck with the rest can pitch well, and we will see – if Zach Littell can get the – I mean, honestly, he's probably the hottest of all of them. But whatever, they got to win one of these. I'm not going to say they're going to get swept. I will not do that, Sammy. I will not do it. So 1 out of 3.
Okay, here's Nick Pivetta, Tropicana Field, 6 games. Wait, what is this? This is really weird. Why did they give me his hitting stats? All right, here we go. Tropicana Field, 6 games. 31 innings, 3.19 ERA. 9.9 K through 9, which is higher than his normal rate. Yeah, he's pretty good at the Trop. All right, that's good. Did you do that? Pull that up like top of your head, Pat?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh yeah, brother. Tropicana Nick.
They call him Tropical Nick, baby.
All right, Joe. What are you doing here? Sox sweep.
Who am I to agree with anybody? If I'm gonna get some points here, and get out of last or avoid last, I got to be different from everyone. And I'm going to be the most optimistic and say that they win 2 out of 3. I think exactly what Sammy just said, Tropical Nick, that's going to come into play. They're going to lose the middle game. And then that last game, if it's Houck, even if it's Richard Fitz again, I feel confident whoever's on the mound shutting down that Tampa team. I know the Trop and Tampa is the Sox bugaboo, but hopefully they just show a little bit of respect in this inning and actually put up a fight.
You know, Joe, this is a legitimate opportunity for you to get some points on people. All the three of us are down for the count after seeing the Sox lose 3 out of 4 to the Yankees, but they're playing a team that by record is worse than them right now, and they're not playing particularly well either. Again, 6-8 this month, so it's not like the Rays are some hot team. So I don't know, Joe, could work out for you.
That's why we make the picks then.
Yeah, you got to be held accountable. Pat?
Yeah?
You got a segment for us, buddy?
I might. Oh, wait, yes, yes, sorry. Sorry about that, yes, I do. It is now time for Crystal Bomb.
Bomb it.
Joe, score update, por favor.
Okay, well, this one feels more in control for Sammy because he picked up another point thanks to Masataka Yoshida hitting one deep. Devers did not go deep, so Gordo's still stuck there in second. Pat also went with Devers, the rare double up. And then I went with my guy Sedan, who did Sedan things and didn't hit a homer. So Sammy, it's again a two-horse race between Sammy and Gordo. Sammy leads 23. Gordo's got 19. Then it's Pat with 9 and me with 6.
So okay. I win if I get one more right. I just got to get one right, and that's
four.
It.
Sammy, I have to go 4-for-4 and you have to go 0-for-4 just for me to tie you.
So you're the in the Red Sox, the real life Red Sox situation in this. Okay, UK, you got to be perfect and you also have to have me fuck up.
That's exactly it. I'm in this instance, I'm the Red Sox and you're the Twins, except you're not playing like shit.
All right.
So I'm
in the good name of competition. Gordo, you can go first.
I'm going to take Tristan Casas in the series. You've been seeing him sit against lefties, and I know he hasn't been playing his best ball since he came off the injured list, but he hit his first career home run at the Trop. He hit it, and that guy that looked like Ryan Brazier caught it, and then Bradfo immediately interviewed him for the Baseball is Important. But actually, it might have been the Bradfo show at that point. I'm not exactly sure. That might have been long enough ago. It was still the Bradfo show. But Bradfo was right on it. The guy looked like Ryan Brazier. He caught Tristan Casas' first homer. I think Casas is going to lock right back into that moment. All three of the Rays pitchers are righties. He's going to start every one of these games, and he is going deep in this series.
All right. Sammy.
All right. I think I'm going to go back to Thick Willie. He hasn't been hitting too well. Most of his value of late has been defensive. So I think he turns it around at the Trop. The Trop is just so weird. I feel like if you go with somebody who's hot, they're going to cool down at the Trop. But if you go with someone who's cool, they'll heat up. So, give me Thick Willie on his, quest to win the AL Rookie of the Year.
All right. And then Joe, us losers can go now. Who do you have?
Well, I'm catching you, Pat. So I need the certainty and I need Tyler O'Neill to stay hot. I feel real comfortable making him my pick.
All right. That's fair. I'm going with Jaron Duran. I don't feel – I think I haven't picked Jaron in months. But I'm going to go with Jaron. I feel like he hits pretty well at the Trop. And, yeah, I'm going with Jaron. We shall see.
He's pissed. He looks okay. Has he We don't have the fancy subscription to look it up, but I want to know if he's ever grounded into a double play two times in one game like he did today.
Oh, he did. He did it earlier this year, and it was that was the first time. So he's now done it twice in his career.
Oh, wait, good recall. Jesus, both of you are on fire today. I'm so angry and out of my mind, and you guys are just like pulling these numbers out of your arses. So thanks for carrying the team.
Fuck yeah, brother. Do you got a segment for us?
Oh.
Are there losers?
Guys being dudes. We're not losing because we're dudes and we're guys, and that's what we're doing is we're being dudes. So,
yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Do give me a good one.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, that's a Dominican chia. All right. Yes. Oh, Gordo speaks Spanish now. So, this is going to be tough because we've done a lot of Tampa Bay. The good thing is they cycle through players like crazy, so we got options. But let's get a little bit creative here. Who would like to go first?
I'll do it. I looked through the list. I was looking everywhere. There are not a lot of fun Rays options, I must say. And it kind of kills me that there's another Rays series coming up after this.
Oh.
I'm going to go with one that's a recent Red Sox. Yu Chang, currently playing in the Chinese Professional Baseball League. Definitely was feeling homesick last year coming to the Red Sox after the World Baseball Classic, where he absolutely smashed it. Was a really good defender for the Sox, had the power, but really never made contact. In his first, in 2022 with the Sox, hit 150. 2023 with the Sox, he hit 162. So not really a major league hitter. But he's certainly a big-time hitter in China, where he's got a 930 OPS in 36 games. So big shouts to Yu Chang and the China. What did I say? It's called the Chinese Professional Baseball League. Hell yeah, brother. You do you, man. He's always having kids, too. He's always posting newborns on Instagram. So viva Yu Chang.
Congrats on the sex, Yu Chang.
He's always doing that, man. He's always having kids, like just popping them out.
Oh,
he's the most fertile guy in the league, baby. Let's go.
I'm glad someone said that we have a series left with the Rays, because I would have completely forgotten, just emptied the clip. I won't do that. I'll save that for the actual last series. But what I will do is I won't go with like some oddball, like, oh, you probably forgot about this guy. You probably forgot this guy played for the Rays. Johnny Damon signed with the Rays with Manny Ramirez. And that, I remember watching that press conference, and it made me probably the top three most uncomfortable I've ever been in my entire life, seeing those guys in Rays jerseys. While, mind you, both of them, I believe, were over 40 or like 38, which was weird. But yeah, played 150 games for them. I also, I'm not a fan of Johnny Damon. I'm not.
You're not over?
No, I'm not. I'm not, because he continues to parade around with the Yankees. With the Yankees. And he had some remark last offseason about, like, oh, like the Red Sox are the ex-girlfriend, but the Yankees are the wife. And I'm like, I hate you.
To be fair, Pat, Sammy did pick Johnny Damon back on episode 72.
Ooh.
When they were playing the Rays. So,
okay.
Just saying.
So
just
I'll go Manny. I'll go Manny.
I'm pretty sure someone said Manny, too.
I have a trivia question. I have a trivia question for you on Johnny Damon. Let's see who can get the closest. I'll let you guys all guess. How many career hits did Johnny Damon have?
Oh, like 2,700 or 800 something. Really close. But
give me
like,
a number.
2,811.
2,968.
Sammy got the closest. He had 2,769 hits.
Ooh,
and I know that Damon kind of pushed it to the brink there. He had a 610 OPS in his final season in 64 games with the Cleveland at the time Indians. But damn, man, if he could have had just like a couple more seasons, if someone would have paid him to be a full-time player, oh man, Johnny Damon could have been the most obscure 3,000 hit man ever.
That's how I knew the number, because I remember it was super, super close to 3,000, but not close enough to justify sticking around, because it wouldn't
exactly have happened. Like A-Rod was about to get 700 homers. He could have stuck around and justified it, and no one would have blinked. He could have gone to like the Marlins or something. What was he, like seven away, or was it three away?
Gary Sheffield do something like that. Like he stuck around for like a little extra so he could get 500 home runs. Yeah, yeah. 2009, he played 100 games. He was 40 years old. He hit 10 homers, and that got him from 499 to 509.
So A-Rod, the Yankees moved on, and he was at 696 home runs. This is obviously after the whole scandal with Biogenesis and like he served the suspension, all that. Finished with 696 home runs. Could have gone to the Miami Marlins to push himself to 700. Like, kind of like the one honorable thing A-Rod did while he played was not go for the 700 and just kind of like call it right there. Kind of honorable.
Gordo, did you go?
Yeah, I went. Yeah.
Oh, right, right. Okay. Joe, have I done Jake Faria yet? I don't.
No one's done him. That's a good one.
I don't think so.
All right. Jake Faria. Fuck this guy. I hate Jake Faria. Every Red Sox fan should hate Jake Faria. And let me give you some background. So first, he played 3 years for Tampa. He was okay. 40 games, 4.18 ERA. ERA plus of 101. So this much above average. But when he was on the Rays, he hit Xander Bogaerts in the hand back in 2017, and it completely ruined his entire season. I think he even kind of got off to a slow-ish start in 2018. Of course, he figured it out and became a beast again for the Red Sox, who went on to win the World Series that year because they had a full team of major league players and they didn't have guys who shouldn't be in spots playing in those spots. But anyway, Jake Faria then, a few years later, he's out of baseball for 2020, doesn't play. Comes back in 2021, stinks it up for the Diamondbacks, leaves again. This guy has been out of baseball two of the last 4 years. And what do the Red Sox do? They said, bring him aboard. And he pitched exactly how you would think he'd pitch for the Red Sox. One game, two innings for a juicy 22.5 ERA. This guy fucking sucked. So, yeah, we all hate Jake Faria. For multiple reasons, can't think of a more fitting guy to talk about right now with the state of the Red Sox. So that's my guy, Jake Faria. Fuck you.
I remember the game. I remember like the game he pitched for the Red Sox. I can remember who it was against. We got to verify if I'm right on this. It was against the Chicago Cubs. And if I'm not mistaken, the Red Sox were up by a crazy amount. And because he stunk it up so much, they had to like use legitimate relievers. And I can't remember if Kenley was one of the guys they ended up having to use. But yeah, Jake Faria, I didn't realize, I thought it was multiple games. I can't believe it was only one game. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was against the Cubs.
I do remember him coming in and in like a mop-up role, and then they had to go to someone else. But I don't remember if it was Kenley or if it was against the Cubs or whatever. But man, I hate that guy.
All right,
so
I got it right here. July 16th, 2023. Sox won 11-5. Came in the eighth. Two innings, four hits, five runs, all earned, four walks, three strikeouts. 65 pitches.
What was the date?
That at Wrigley? That was at Wrigley, right?
Yes, it was.
What was the date?
July 16th.
July 16th, 2023. I'm just trying to figure out if Kenley Jansen pitched in this one.
The day that'll live in infamy.
The day that will live in infamy.
No, player it stats, was it was Cutter Crawford, Joe Jakes, and then Jake Faria.
Oh, Joe Jakes. Don't ever mention that.
Did Joe Jakes pitch in the majors for the Diamondbacks? Is he going to be a guys being dudes guy at some point, or did he not make it with them?
He
his baseball
he did pitched so one game. He pitched game. One game for the Diamondbacks. Oh, I all can't right. wait to use that name next year.
When next the Red
year, Sox. Joe Jakes.
Oh yeah, or maybe this year if the Red Sox make the playoffs and meet the Diamondbacks in the
oh guys, the playoff. At some point, the playoff version of guys being dudes. Oh, we're going to have to do – oh, for the playoffs, we might need to do, like, every game recordings, and, like, crystal bombs are just for the game, so it's not for the series. It's, like, game two crystal bomb.
Well, Gordo, we got more than a year to plan for that, so don't worry about it.
It's true. In the meantime, let's got some Nuff said. I guess I'll go first for some Nuff said. Bob Nightingale reported on Sunday that Chaim Bloom is expected to be the Cardinals' top decision maker as soon as next year. It's going to depend on when John Mozeliak steps down or whatever the hell he's planning on doing. It might literally be this offseason, so we'll see. But Chaim Bloom, I feel like, could not – I'm not saying the Red Sox are necessarily losing the breakup, because I think the Red Sox are going to be in a good place sooner rather than later. But – Look at what Chaim Bloom gets to do. He gets to go to a good organization, like a good culture, a historic organization, and he gets to basically sit in the back and learn about the organization. You're not getting thrown into the fire. You're gonna sit and learn from the people that know the organization best. And then after a year of getting to know that organization, getting to know that team, you're going to get put in charge, and there's going to be no adjustment period. Like, if you guys remember correctly, Craig Breslow gets hired, and they put him in front of the press, and the media is asking him all these questions, and his answer is basically, well, I got to get to learn this organization. I don't know enough about this organization. And maybe a big part of why the Red Sox didn't make any significant moves where they traded legitimate prospects was in part because Breslow didn't know enough about the farm system to feel comfortable trading top prospects. So Chaim Bloom's going to know that team upside down, like the back of his hand, and he's going to get to step in and do what he thinks is right. And I'm happy for him, because the more time that's passed since his breakup with the Red Sox, you see a lot of the good things he did, with the caveat of what he was tasked to do, which was to build up the farm, which he did a great job of. So viva Chaim, good job, man. Like, happy for Chaim.
Sam, you want to go?
Sam, you might be muted. Yeah. There you go.
Sure. So probably the best thing that happened to me during that Yankees series that we were all subjected to was I actually missed the Friday night game because I was at the opera. And I'm not kidding. I went to a real opera show. Here's the program. Mitridati. It was in all Italian, which I don't speak. And still able to follow the story. So it's pretty cool. A lot of love and betrayal. There was some murder at the end, which was cool, with a sword. And intermission, about 90 minutes in, Check the score, 4-0. Like, nice. Red Sox up 4-0. Crystal bomb, Yoshida. All right, feeling good. Awesome. They're going to get a win, and maybe they'll make the postseason. Watch the second half of the show. I'm like, hey, that was pretty good. You know, I'm not an opera guy, but I didn't mind it. I kind of liked it, actually. And then I look at my phone. Not good. Five unanswered runs. Just glad I didn't have to watch it happen. So, yeah, go to the opera. It's great.
Did you at least learn a little bit of Italian?
Buongiorno.
Yeah, buongiorno. No.
Like, grapes Italian. And wine, you know?
Yeah. That's
more French.
Pasta?
Pasta.
That is Italian. I actually learned that for the first time on Friday night. I thought it was Lithuanian. It's actually Italian. So, pasta. Try it if you haven't tried it before.
When the guy stabbed the guy with the sword, did they like mimic blood with like red streamers, or did they just kind of the guy just like fall?
No, they actually had the whole stage was lit kind of to mimic the mood of the scene in a way. It's kind of sort of. So like the whole stage was like red, like to represent the guy being, or not the whole stage, like the backdrop was red. But it's pretty cool. It was kind of like, I would liken it to like, it's the heavyweight lifter, like the bodybuilder strongmen of vocals is opera, because their voices are like so strong and powerful. That's like, it's that, those are, that's how I would compare it, if you will, to sport.
Obviously a direct comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all got that. Pat, you got anything for us?
Yeah, I do. Tua Tagovailoa needs to retire from the NFL.
Yeah, he sucks and he's concussed.
Dude, that's his. I might be wrong, so I don't want to say this is a fact. I'm pretty sure that's his fourth concussion in 3 years. And the second time that he's had that posturing, which is like
third and
the
two.
Main telltale of a pretty significant brain injury.
Yeah. He I bet
like,
three
died.
It's called the corticate posturing. It's this.
Is that different from fencing? Fencing? When guys get not like a fighter.
That was the one that was talked about with the most recent one, was the fencing position.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very familiar.
On guard.
It's not pretty. It looks bad. Tua's concussions specifically always look extra bad.
I bet if Tua were in a sport like boxing or MMA, he would have a tough time getting sanctioned by promotions because he's at such a high risk for like.
Yeah,
I don't want to say the D word, but like, he's at a high risk for like. Not good. I agree. He should retire. It's not. It's literally. It's not safe anymore. And he's small. No. He's my size. I'm like 5'10". 170 pounds. He's heavier, but like, dude, you should have played baseball, Tua.
Yeah, it's to the point where it's like genuinely concerning. And like even like Mike McDaniel's like, yeah, like I talked to him, like he has a family to worry about. Like take his time. Like no one's saying retire, but it's like
retire, dude.
Please. Dude, it's getting sad. It's getting
in the way. Bad ending if he does. Like come on, how it's not going to get better with age and more concussions.
Here's the problem though. The
$212 million.
Joe, you're right on. And 160 of it is guaranteed. So, like, fuck, man. Like, TJ said that's
plenty.
A lot worse than that.
Plenty. Leave, dude. You $200-whatever million dollars is good for nothing if you're friggin' dead.
No, you're right. But it's just like, it's like he's not, like, picking death. He's picking a chance, and he thinks he's going to be, like, he wants to be good. It's hard. Like, I think he should retire, too. Like, goddamn, you're going to die on the field. But
Andrew Luck did it.
What did Andrew Luck – did he have money? He must have walked away from a bunch of money. What did he walk away from financially? We got to figure that out. There's no way
anything up.
On the top of your head. But you're right, Pat. Andrew Luck did do it. And Andrew Luck didn't have
– He signed a five-year – it was a five-year, $123 million deal.
And he walked
I'm looking to see how many years of that he actually played.
And like Luck didn't have the injury history that Tua, like Tua, I mean, he's had four documented head injuries in the last 3 years.
And you know what the book, you know what the book was on Andrew Luck, like when he was coming into the NFL? Smart, intelligent player, and look who retired early, the smart guy. So I'm, trust me, man, I see so many like concussions in my full-time job. It's not a joke, man. That shit is scary and it will change you forever. So I would genuinely, like, I'm not even trying to exaggerate. Tua should stop playing football forever because it's not going to get better.
Andrew Luck walked away from 3 years, $64 million.
So it's not, I mean, obviously Tua's more, but it's the same idea. Like Luck walked away from a ton of money.
Yeah.
But he still is a generational wealth. He's fine either way. Like Tua's family's going to be set.
But and like they both at by this point, Tua's made plenty of money. You know, top, I think he was the third overall pick in his draft, and Luck had obviously made plenty of money. So generational wealth, no matter how you put it, obviously more money is more money. But I mean, you only get one head, you only get one life. So I mean, no one's going to be surprised if Tua steps back on that field and we see something bad. And the NFL should not want that to happen. That's like the one thing that can kill. You see a guy.
I wonder how much control they have. Like, can the NFL? I'm sure they can, but can they be like, we're not letting you play? It's not safe. Are they allowed to do that, or is it like
no, Tua?
That might be a bad look for them. But they, I mean,
or a great look, dude. Imagine the people. Oh, I could spin that so well.
How would you spin it? Because the way I would take that is
to be like,
hey, this, our sport is literally like going to kill you. Our sport is going to be your death.
Dude.
Okay, but I would just counter that and be like, are you under the illusion that you think it's safe?
And they would say yes. Because it's the NFL, man. They just say shit.
His contract, he only got, I mean, I say only in the grand scheme of things, $9.5 million this year.
Oh, no.
The big money doesn't roll in until next year, and it only goes up. Next year's 39.4, then 56.4, then 53.4, then 65.8. So
I have a hard time picturing Tua playing one way or the other, like 4 or 5 years from now. It's just like hard to imagine.
Yeah.
But in any event, man, like wishing the best for him, like goddamn, that's a lot of head injuries. Most of the kids in my like in high school that like had two or three concussions were told no more contact sports. And now we're at four with him and he's a young guy. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully everything's good. What?
And he's in the NFL.
Yeah.
Dude, he's 26.
Oh, dude, yeah, I mean, retire, please, please. I don't want like a Tua documentary in like 20 years from now, like the sad tale of Tua Tagovailoa. He was a great quarterback for Alabama and he didn't know when to quit or something. Like, I don't want to. We don't need that. The world doesn't need more sad things.
You know what the world does need?
A winning streak from the Red Sox.
I was about to say the Red Sox to win every single game for the rest of the season to see if that would get them into the playoffs. But
or just alas, lose out so I can stop caring.
I think the games all matter. Even though they're not going to get them to the playoffs, I'm still under the impression that they need to prove that, or like prove in John Henry's mind that they're one step away. So that's how I'm going to get myself out of bed for all
this. Dude, you think John Henry's paying attention to this shit? No way.
I don't, but I think he's going to look at the record at the end of the year. And if it says 83 and 79, yeah, then he'd be like, add some stuff and that 83 becomes an 88 and we're in. Whereas if he sees 78 again, then it's like, nothing I do works.
Can I ask you guys a real question? Real question. Do you guys think John Henry knows who Nick Sogard is?
No.
I think there's no shot.
I don't think so either.
Willie or Abreu? So. Does he know who Thick Willie is?
Yeah.
He knows Willie.
I think he does. But if he didn't, would you be shocked?
I would be pretty damn disappointed if he didn't know Willie Abreu.
Does John Henry think that the Savannah Bananas are an expansion Major League Baseball team?
I think he thinks that they are the Boston Red Sox because they played at Fenway.
Yeah.
Oh, he probably thought
he thought they were
the City Connects.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, you said that, Sammy. You should know that better than anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. But God. Great.
Alas, the Savannah Bananas will be back to Fenway Park in 2025, and so will hopefully a competitive version of the Boston Red Sox, and so will hopefully a winning version of the final 2 weeks of the 2024 Red Sox. They will be back at Fenway Park, not for this series, but for the next one against the Twins that we all had hoped was going to be a big series, and hey, maybe it will be. Who knows? The Twins lose a lot. But till next time, till our post-race series, before we get going or whatever, man, just subscribe. Just subscribe.
Fuck this outro, man. We're so pissed.
Just subscribe. Just do it, because there's going to be episodes next year when the Red Sox are good. You can also find us on YouTube, on the WBI channel, Play Tessie playlist there, on the socials, at Play Tessie, on both Twitter and Instagram. But just remember, wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. So for Sammy and for Pat, for Joe in the back, this has been episode 131 of Play Tessie. Thank you guys for tuning into this one. Peace.